welcome to the August 26, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message, and an impressive show of prestidigitation, is presented by Matt Four. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. I know it's time to get ready when everybody gets quiet. It's good to see everybody this morning. My name is Jeff Allen, an associate pastor of students and families, and we are welcoming you to College Park Baptist Church. If you're a member or a guest, we want to find out if you were here this morning, and there are places to record that. On the inside out of every pew, there are worship pads, friendship registers, whatever you want to call them. We'd like for everybody to fill that out, name and check the appropriate boxes and fill in the information as you feel comfortable. We'd like for members and guests alike to do that and send that down to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill it out. And then when everybody's done, if you could send it back to where it started, this will allow us to for our ushers to get this at the end of the service. Several announcements I'll make. We are celebrating a Sunday school today. We had a great turnout in our Sunday school celebration time in Smith Hall. And we also are continuing that in our service of affirmation. Today we are beginning celebrating the new Sunday school year and the new school year. Many of our children and teenagers have already started back to school, but most will start back tomorrow. I know they're excited about that. So we will come together on this Sunday to affirm the students and the parents and the teachers as we all begin a new year together. So we want to spend some time during this worship doing that. Several announcements I'll make for you. You will see in your bulletin that the Family Night Supper begins this week. It does begin this week. Everybody will be together. The children's choirs and the mission groups will start a week from Wednesday. So that is a misprint in your bulletin. We're going to push those back. We've got a couple loose ends to finish up. So that will start mission groups and music groups will start the Wednesday after Labor Day. So make that note. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend. Everything else will kick back off after Labor Day. Have an opportunity for our teenagers to do a mission work down at Watermark, which is a church plant we are supporting down near Lake Norman. And we have opportunity either Saturday, Sunday, or Monday of Labor Day weekend. That's a week from today. If you're teenagers, if you're available to help either Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, if you could let me know, about 6 hours is all we would need. If you could let me know that today before you leave church. We are having our life service tonight at 7 o'clock. I want you to come and be a part of that contemporary worship service. It'll be a great night together as Cindy Johnson will lead us in worship. We'll recognize Raymond Smith.
Let me call your attention to several things here. First of all, in your order of service, you should have an insert that says Week of Prayer for Associational Missions. This is the week of prayer for associational missions, and you may say, well, wait a minute, I know so-and-so at a so-and-so church, and they're not having it this week. This is one of those missions offerings that we are able to choose when we would like to do it, and we thought it would be appropriate as we start back a new school year and begin thinking about mission opportunities for us to focus on associational missions, those things that are closest to us. As we go out into the community. So this is the week of prayer for associational missions. We'll be taking that offering up. And also on Wednesday night, we will have a special program to kind of let you know some of the things that are happening within our association in regard to missions efforts. So if you would please take this, keep it with you this week, and pray for the specific things that are listed on the days they're doing that. Now, certainly you can pray for other things and other times, but this is kind of a guide to give you an opportunity to understand a little bit about what's going on in our association. Also, you'll see in your order of service an insert entitled Why. For those of you that were here last week, you've probably already seen this, no doubt, and if you've already signed one of these or you're not able to do that, understand. But for those who were not here last week, this is a new emphasis we're going to be doing this fall. It will begin the Sunday after Labor Day, which will be September the 9th, and run through the third week, I think it is, in October. It's a wonderful series of asking those questions. And if you'll read this insert, it will answer the question of what I'm talking about when I say answer those questions. Questions that we have about our faith and a lot of not yet believers may have. It will be a wonderful opportunity for you to invite someone who has not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Invite them to come and have some of their questions answered and let them feel free about asking those. So if you're able to participate, there will also be small group studies that will meet on Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, I believe. Now, someone has already asked the question, do I have to come all three nights? No, that's an either or. It's, you know, it can meet on Sunday night group, or you can meet in the Tuesday night group, or meet in the Thursday night group. Those are somewhat, I mean, they'll be redundant, so you won't have to be there for all three of them. Just pick one of those. There's a commitment card in your insert. And if you would be willing, I know the card says, I'll be willing to do all of these, but if you're not able to do all of them, we want to give you an opportunity to participate anyway. So if you will take that and circle the things that you will be able to do, that you feel confident you will be able to do, just circle those and then go ahead and fill out the rest of the card. So if you're able to do that, I know that it will be a blessing to you. All of us will be participating in the worship services during that time, and I know that that will be a wonderful opportunity to invite others to come be with us in worship. If you are not able to participate in this, if you would, we just ask you to leave these cards on your seat as you leave today, on the pew there. If you would leave those to where we can come pick those up. If you want to take it with you, think about it, pray about it, and get those cards to us, you're welcome to take that with you. And if you have any other questions, feel free to give me a call, but we're really excited about this. We're also very excited this morning to have Matt Four with us. I want to introduce him to you to where when it comes time, he can just come on and do what he does. I've known Matt we were kind of reminiscing about how many years we've known each other, and we're not telling. But we've known each other a long time, and he's been here on numerous occasions. And a wonderful man of God that has some very unique talents that he's using to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I hope that you will pray for him, that you will keep your eyes and your minds and your hearts open to the message that he will be presenting in a very creative way today. Thank you.
Thank you, Raymond. Other things I'll draw your attention to, Raymond did mention Matt will be coming later in the service to be leading us during the message time and to be celebrating Sunday school and the new year with us. There are other things I'll draw your attention to as far as the order of service goes. You will notice that just after the scripture reading, the ministry of God's word, that there will be some recognitions. There will be time for parents, for students from preschool all the way through college, and there will be a time for teachers and administrators to stand, and we want you to stand at the appropriate time, and I'll make that very clear. And we're going to have a specific guided prayer time for you as we are beginning the new year. And that this is our service of affirmation. This is the time when we want to affirm you, as whether here as in Sunday school or in public school or private school, that you are God's chosen instrument to make a difference in the lives of children and teenagers around this city. We want to affirm you this day. So just be prepared for that. There's also a time, there's a covenant of community affirmation. That's one of your inserts. That everybody will have an opportunity to be a part of that. So just want you to know that those things are coming. At the end of the service today, not only are we beginning the new Sunday school year, but we're also beginning our new prayer partner year. This is the third year of our prayer partner ministry. Every child, babies through college students, we ask for an adult to be a prayer partner for every young person that we have in our church. We have kicked it up a notch, I guess you could say, this year. We've got the envelopes. As you leave down the hallway by Smith Hall, there is a table. And on that table are all the envelopes with all the names that we have of children, youth, and college students. There is also a sheet there. The envelopes will say child, youth, college students. So if you know you want a child, you would grab an envelope for a child, for a teenager, for a college student, vice versa. That gives you a little bit of choice. But God is putting together you and this young person to be prayer partners for this coming year. So what we ask you to do as you leave worship today, grab an envelope, open that envelope on the spot, and then there's a sheet there where you can find whoever you have, and make sure you put your name beside them so I know who is partnered up with who, and then I can be able to contact you throughout the year. There's instructions on how to be a prayer partner. Basically, it's just taking a prayerful interest in the lives of our young people. And that's what we're asking you to do. And so if you're interested in becoming a prayer partner, grab an envelope, open the envelope, put your name beside the name that you picked, and continue to pray for these young people and their parents. The great ministry has been so well supported over the last several years, and we appreciate you continuing to do that. It is time for us to worship. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this day. You've already given us your information on the pew pads. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. They would like to give you something. So if you're a guest this morning, just please raise your hand as the ushers come back down the aisles. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet is a newsletter as well as a letter from our pastor. So we want you to know about the history of College Park and things that are going on in the life of our church. So just raise your hand if you're a guest this morning and take this as a gift to you. It is time for us to begin our time of worship. You will find the invitation to share in worship is printed in your bulletin. This morning's come from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 12. This is a responsive reading, and I invite you to stand now as we read together. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word.
I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees.
Amen. You may be seated. With me. Our Father, let us come before you with praise and thanksgiving, our offerings of worship. We have come in this place to celebrate the beginning of a new year. Father, it is such a gift, this life. The opportunity to be in this place on this day is a blessing. Father, you have given us so much. Let us give back to you. Let this time of worship not be something we sit by and witness, but let this time of worship be something we actively participate in. Let everything that we have be fully engaged in glorifying your name. That is our prayer. That is our hope. May you be pleased by what you hear and see this day. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
As we share together the ministry of God's Word, we'll be sharing Scripture from the Old Testament this morning, first from the book of Jeremiah in the first chapter, beginning at verse 4. As we seek as students and teachers and parents and leaders to understand what the things that we're doing now and how those fit in the call that God has for our lives, we look to Scripture for the answer to see what God is offering us as part of His will. From Jeremiah 1, beginning in verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Also from the Old Testament in the 71st Psalm, Psalm 71, beginning in verse 1. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." May God bless the reading and understanding of His holy word.
We've come to a time of recognition and prayer. I think this is one of the most valuable things that we can do as a body of believers, is to recognize the value of prayer in supporting one another. We will be recognizing three separate groups this day as we begin the new Sunday school year and the new school year. And I want to have a time just to recognize these groups and for the church to pray for them collectively. First of all, education can begin only with parents. Parenting. I am blessed because I had two wonderful parents growing up. My father has gone on to be with the Lord, but my mother remains and continues to be such a strong influence in my life. And parents are such powerful people, and they can influence us in so many ways. And so I'm grateful for the parents of this church. I'm grateful for the grandparents and the way that the parents of College Park support the young people. If you are a parent or a grandparent, would you please stand this morning, right where you are, parents or grandparents? It's hard to have kids without parents, I guess. We want to spend just a moment to let you know that whether your children are young or not so young, you are a gift to your children. You are a gift to the young people of this church. I have heard about how frustrating it can be at times, not knowing the words to say, feeling inadequate about how am I supposed to do this thing. You are doing it right. By your presence in this place, you are telling the world, "I believe in Christ. And I want my kids to believe as well." we want to spend just a moment to pray for you for the coming year. May we all pray together. Dear Father, in these moments, we pause to thank you We thank you that you are the ultimate, eternal Father. You are the one that we can rely on, who protects us, nourishes us, teaches us. Father, help these parents and these grandparents who stand before you this day, whether they're young people or in school or out of school with their own kids. Help these adults to be your influence. Help them to train up their children, to teach them the Word of God, to model a lifestyle of Christian service and faithfulness. Help them to understand their children. Give them strength for when they have to take them to one more band lesson. Encourage them when they have to discipline. Give them the forgiveness when they make mistakes and the strength to journey on. As the body at College Park, we believe in parents. You believe in these adults. Give them the strength for this journey, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Parents, you may be seated. Now, this next group, I live with one of these, so I know what y'all go through. Teachers, administrators, secretaries, assistants, volunteers, Sunday school teachers, attendance checkers. It takes a lot of people to educate our young people. And I want you to know, as I grew up, my mom was a high school math teacher. And I saw all the effort that she put into teaching. Jennifer has been teaching for several years as well, and all the things that teachers have to put up with. And for the administrators, the Sunday school teachers, we have some of the best Sunday school teachers that I know of. For those that work in schools, you have a precious opportunity. Whether in public or private or in Sunday school, you can mold the minds and the hearts of precious children and special teenagers and gifted college students. We recognize the gifts that you have and the effort that it takes for all of you to get up every day to come to teach, to come to provide a place of learning. So if you are a teacher in the public or private schools, if you're a volunteer, if you're an administrator, if you're retired, if you're soon to be retired, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're in any way involved with the teaching of preschoolers, children, teenagers, or college students, would you please stand? Let me say publicly, thank you. Without your effort, all the blood, the sweat, and the tears, our young people do not stand a chance in this world. Thank you for what you do. Will you all pray with me? Oh Lord our God, when you wanted to tell us about your love and your truth, you sent a special teacher to see us, Jesus. Jesus, as a student, grew in wisdom. As a teacher, he was patient with slow learners. He taught by example, by modeling. He used many diverse methods and a lot of stories. But above all, his life and his teaching agreed with each other. Help us as teachers to search passionately for truth, to study for love of learning, not simply to pass exams, to do our best, not just to please teachers or superiors or other superiors, but because we are serving you, Lord. You have commissioned us to go into all the world and teach all you have commanded us. So help us to know your commands well, to practice them, and then to pass them on. And so when we meet you face to face, when we're given a grade for our life, may we hear your voice saying to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we pray as we dedicate ourselves anew to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this next group I get to hang out a lot with. It's one of the greatest joys of my life to hang out with the children and the teenagers and the college students of College Park, because we have some of the best. And I am blessed. They have to put up a lot to be with me. They have to forgive me a lot of things. But I wouldn't trade any of these children, any of these teenagers, or any of these college students for anything in the world. Now, I know we spend a lot of time talking about what's life like in schools. You talk to me about the pressures that you face. There's lots of drama in the youth group. Whenever you have teenagers, there's a lot of drama, period. And I know how difficult it can be both here and at school. But you are precious gifts from God. Don't ever forget that. You are special to me. You are special to your parents. And you're special to your teachers. So I'd like to have a prayer for all the children, the youth, and the college students. So if you're a youth, a child, or a college student, would you stand right where you are, please? I want you to know that wherever you go, God is with you. Let us all pray together. Father God, we thank you for the smell of a new box of crayons, the rainbow in each perfect row. Thank you for each bundle of snowy white notebook paper awaiting fresh possibilities. May they remind us that you make all things new and bless us with abundance. Thank you for a new ruler for every eraser atop the pencils. May they help us remember to measure our blessings, but never your boundless love for us, to allow for the making of mistakes as a normal part of human learning. As we lay out our new clothes for these first days of school, help us remember to put on Christ each day too, and to clothe the naked as he asked us. But mostly, God, help us all to remember that Jesus is always our best and most devoted teacher, that we never outgrow all his lessons on how you want us to live and to love. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, the teaching of our young people is a communal act. It's something that we do as the body of Christ. That's the reason why we have a prayer partner ministry. Parents need the help of other adults to say the same things that they're saying. You know, even as a teenager, when your parent said something, I'm not listening to my parents, but an adult who's not anywhere near related to you say the same thing. It's the wisest person in the world. We need adults who are helping our parents train up their children in the way they should go. So this is a community thing. You will find a covenant of affirmation that's an insert that you have. There are four separate times that we ask for you to respond during this covenant. First will be the parents. And when it's time for your response, heartfelt yes is what we ask for you to say. For teachers, administrators, Sunday school leaders, you have the second part. And then for all students, children, youth, and college, graduate school, there is your opportunity to say yes. So I want you to, when the time comes in the covenant, for you to say that at the appropriate time. Let us read together. Would you stand? By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are claimed as God's own and brought into a new community. Today we gather to celebrate the nurturing and teaching aspects of our faith community. Parents, you have been given the privilege of primary care for your children. At dedication, you agreed to teach and model for them a faith based on Scripture, the Apostles' Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Even now, as they are given additional opportunities to grow in faith with others, do you promise to continue in partnership with teachers and other church leaders through active support and involvement in specific tasks, modeling a Christian lifestyle at home?
Yes.
Teachers, you have accepted the privilege of nurturing children, youth, and adults in our faith community to increase their understanding of God's boundless love, acceptance, and forgiveness through Bible stories and learning activities. Do you promise to join in partnership with others in this faith community to affirm a lifestyle of faith and service?
Yes.
On your dedication day, we welcomed you as a member of God's family, and we all said yes to helping you learn what that means. But your attitude and your willingness to learn and grow are the keys to your faith development. Do you students promise to come willingly to learn and grow with others? At each dedication, we have all joined together in surrounding children and their parents in a covenant of faith for faith development. Church, do you promise to continue your support and involvement?
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated.
memorize a golden rule and how Jesus came to set the sinner free. I know the story inside out, and I can tell you all about the path that led him up to Calvary. But ask me why he loves me, and I don't know what to say. But I'll never be the same, because he changed my life when he became everything to me. More than a story, more than words on a page of history. He's the air that I breathe, the water and the ground beneath my feet. He's everything, everything to me. Living in uncertain times, and more I find that I'm aware of just how fragile life can be. They can taste and see. Now every day I'm praying just to give my heart away. I want to live for Jesus so that someone else might see that he is everything to me. More than a story, more than words on a page of history. He's the air that I breathe, the water I thirst for, and the ground beneath my feet. He's everything. And looking back over my life at the end, I'll go to meet you, saying you've been everything to me. More than a story, more than words on a page of history.
How y'all doing? Everybody alive? How many of y'all were in the Sunday school thing this morning that I did? Oh, wow. Thank you guys that were there for coming back. That's really good. Yeah, it is great to be here. You know, a lot of people will ask me how I come up with this stuff that I do and this material that I do. And I was very fortunate. I had a mentor who, and one thing he taught me was that you have to find out what people like. And so what I've been doing lately is I do a lot of these shows, and I travel all over the place to do the shows. And after the show, I go and hide in the restroom. I really do. Because people, you know, they'll go in the restroom after the show, and you can hear them talking. And you kind of get a feel, you know, for what they liked and what they didn't like. And I was telling them in the Sunday school, I was in Texas yesterday, and I actually did that. I did the show, and I went and I hid in the restroom. I kind of hid in the stall and just sort of listened. And I'm actually changing some things that I'm doing today just because of what those ladies were saying. So, you know, it's kind of a process for me to get it going. But I just love being here. I love Raymond. Hey, Raymond. Thank you for having me. I don't know how many times I've been here, and they're always so nice to me. Put me up at a nice hotel here. Forget the name of it. It used to be the Holiday Inn, but whatever it is. They're very, very nice over there, and everybody's just been very, very helpful. It's the Sundance. It's the Sundance. I'm trying to be different. I don't know if you noticed that. But I try to not do things that everybody else does. And one of the magic tricks that I've been doing lately is a fruit trick. So this is what I did. I yesterday afternoon when I was coming over, I just stopped by and I picked up a couple of lemons. And I'm going to actually try a magic trick with some lemons. And I really only need one, or, you know, but I always get two just so I can kind of give somebody a choice. I'm going to scoot down through this way. Hang on a minute. How you doing, sir?
Very well.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
I like your coat.
Thank you.
You hang on to that. Those are going to come back in,
that's
and then
right.
You'll have one. Really nice.
Right.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing? What's your name?
Keith.
Keith, that's a good name. I've got two lemons. I'm going to throw one out. Doesn't make any. I like your hair. Really nice. That looks real from the front. I wouldn't even worry about who's behind me. You know what I mean? Okay. Two lemons. I'm going to throw one out. Doesn't matter. Just touch one of them. It doesn't make any difference. I'm just going to toss it. Let me just toss it. Oh, I should be on a team. Okay. Hang on that. Here's what's going to happen. During this show, I'm going to need that lemon that Keith has. Okay. So when I need the lemon, what I'm going to do is I'll say, who has the lemon? Okay. And when I do that, what I want you to do is you're going to hold the lemon up and I want you to go like this. I have the lemon. Like that. Okay. I didn't ask you, Keith. Why don't we run through it one time, okay? We'll practice it. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Who has the lemon?
I have the lemon.
Okay, that was... Is this a special section of people here? I think that's close enough. I brought a knife, and I'm going to get this lady to hold the knife. Here you go. Most people will jump. Let's see. Hang on. I don't know. You look dangerous. Can you hang on to this? I'm going to need that knife. Now, when I need the knife, I'm going to go, who has the knife? And when I do that, what I want you to do, you're going to hold the knife, and I want you to go, yo, over here. Like, kind of like that. Let's run through it. All right, here we go. Who has the lemon? That's you, Keith. Okay. You need to warn me about these people. I've got some tweezers. Actually, Jeff, I'm just going to let you hang on to the tweezers if you don't mind. Now, when I need the tweezers, what I'm going to do is I'll say, who has the tweezers? And when I do that, what I want you to do later on, you're going to jump up and I want you to go like this. I have the tweezers. Like that. Okay. Just give it all you got. Boy, do I have a joke there. Oh, well. Now, I know what you're all thinking. So far, so what? So, this is where I get to actually perform a magical trick. And I think you're going to like this. This is a Chinese rope trick. And I learned this years ago from a Chinese magician. Good friend of mine. He's a lawyer. The Chinese lawyer. His name is So Sumi. And he taught me this little trick. Did you get that joke, ma'am? I had done a couple of jokes that seemed like they were kind of going over you there. So I'm going to help. Is she a member? Okay. You don't get to pick your members, do you? But just walk in and sign up. You know I'm serious. Now, I'm going to cut the ends of the rope off like that so we have a rope with no ends. I've still got ends. Okay. Maybe you could nudge her or something whenever I do something funny. And I'm going to make a loop in it. Now, I don't know if that's exactly the middle, but it's going to be close. And I'm going to create an optical illusion so that it looks like I've cut this into two ropes. All right, wait a minute. I did that wrong. Let me do something here. I'm going to squeeze that. and maybe I can put it back together and it looks something like that. You can clap now, see, because it, thank you. It makes me feel good when you clap. You know, the service is all about me. I was thinking, though, a real magician wouldn't need scissors because he could make them with his finger like this. Watch. There. Isn't that better? See, that's the way I like to do it. Now, I'm going to trim the ends of the knot off, and we'll put this rope back together again using some moon dust. This is moon dust. Would you help me, sir, that guy in the pink? Come up here. Yep, you got to be a man to wear pink. You know that? You're like, yeah, I don't care what you say. I'll punch you. How you doing? What's your name?
Bill.
Bill, that's correct. All right. Hold your hand out like that. Stand closer to the floor. That's okay. That's better. You know what that is? Moon dust. Moon dust. Isn't that cool? Do you believe in moon dust?
Sure.
What are you, nuts? Bill believes in moon dust. Okay. Well, you want people of faith, you know. Sprinkle the moon dust on the rope for me. That's good. I'm going to squeeze the rope. Bill, just blow on the rope. Ooh. Okay. Something with cheese. If I squeeze the rope and pull, it comes back together and looks something like that. And that's where you clap. Thank you for clapping. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for helping me. Thank you very much. So, some magicians can tie a knot in a rope and never let go of the ends. I'm going to learn that one. I don't know how to do that yet. But I'm going to put this down. I have a lot more things that I want to do with the rope, but I'm going to skip it. Thank you. Some of these jokes are just for me, you know, so don't feel obligated. You know, this is like a Sunday school celebration. Lots of kids here. It's just great to see the kids. And for all of you kids that are here, this is teenagers, kids, all of you kids, for being part of the program today. You can swing by any bank anywhere in Winston-Salem anytime during the week, and you get a free pin. So this is it's for you kids. You're going to see these on the counter when you go in, and you just say, I went to College Park, and then you have to pull it because they're stuck. But these are free for all you kids, and if you get in trouble, you can call me at home, okay? My name's Raymond Smith, and I'm kidding, kids. Don't do that. I'm so glad that the sanctuary is set up the way it is, where everybody could see this, because a lot of times I have to reposition everybody to see what I'm going to show you right now. But I'm going to actually teach you guys a little thing that you can go home and do for your family and your friends. Okay? Just your family. Be fine. Now, I need to borrow, and I didn't plan this before the show. I did not plan this. This is random. But I need to borrow from anybody in the audience, preferably an adult somewhere in the audience, a dollar. Just anybody that would loan me a dollar. And not everybody at once, please. You act like you're in church. I don't want your dollar. They'll think we planned it. I want a random dollar from anybody. Oh, there's a dollar. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for doing that. Bless your heart. Here's the thing. We didn't plan this, right? We didn't plan this for the show. Okay, a bar dollar. This is a fun little thing. This is called the vanishing dollar. Vanishing dollar. Now, you borrow a dollar from, we'll say, a friend. You fold it in half. All right, watch the technique and how I do this. Watch closely. It's gone. Isn't that great? You have a 20? It's actually funnier with a 20. You're not going to do it, are you? She's smarter than you were telling me earlier. Now, besides a dollar bill, you're going to need to get one of these wallets. I am going to show you this, really. These are very inexpensive wallets. You can get these at Walmart now. I think Kmart has them, CVS. They're about $5. They're very cheap. You're going to need one of these. You'll need a marker, and this is a very special marker. I'm going to show this lady. Check it out so you can see how special that is. It's a magic marker. Never mind. We're having a quiz after the program, so you're going to need to kind of pay attention. You're also going to need a piece of paper, and I knew everybody couldn't see this, so I brought a little chalkboard thing so everybody could see it. And I need somebody smart. This lady here, how are you? Are you with him? Y'all together? You are? Okay, I'm going to move around. You look smart. Can you see the serial number on the dollar? Would you hold the dollar for a second? Just read that out loud where they can see it. That was your, I'll get it back. Don't worry. You seem nervous. It's okay. Okay. Read it loud. And that's what you do when you borrow the dollar. Write that number down so everybody knows which dollar it is. Are you ready? All right. Go. J. 7356435. Okay. Is there a letter at the end? D. So that's what you do. You borrow a dollar and you write the serial number down so everybody knows which dollar it is. That's important. Let me get the dollar. You hold on to the numbers and I'm going to get Mr. Pink to come back up and help me because you're close by. Come on up here and step right up here. Well, I'm going to show you how to do this. Let's see. Let's recap. That was funny, wasn't it? You'll use it. Okay, feel how cheap that is. Isn't that cheap?
Really cheap.
I knew you'd know cheap. Because I had seen those suede shoes you got there, buddy. Okay, I'm sorry. I have some shoes like that. They're very comfortable, aren't they?
Sure.
They're very nice. I found mine. Somebody had thrown them out. Just like those. Okay, now, I'm kidding. I just have one. I'm going to take the dollar. What's your name?
Bill.
I knew that. Good memory, Bill. I'm going to, yes, that's right. I'm going to take the dollar bill, and I'm going to put it inside of the, some of these things just come to me as I go. Is that fair? The dollar's in the wallet. The dollar's in the wallet. The wallet's going to go in this chair. Bill, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you to sit down on the wallet. Now, you're going to have to kind of help Bill do this a little bit, because Bill is going to use his mind. All right, Bill. In your mind, I want you to see the dollar in the wallet. Do you see it in there?
I think so.
That's good. Now, I want you to see the dollar just disappear. Did you see it?
I don't see it now.
It's a 45-minute program, so we have to kind of keep it moving. It's hard to get good help, you know what I mean? Do you see it just disappear?
I did.
It's gone. That's called hindsight. That's where you can sit on stuff and see it. That's a long way to go for a joke, isn't it? All right, now you can stand up and move over that way. I'm going to show you something, Bill. You're not going to believe this, but the dollar is gone. I don't have it. Look, it's not under the chair. This isn't a tricky chair. Show him your hands. It's not in your hands. It's not in your pocket. You didn't stick it back there somewhere, did you, Bill? Okay, thanks for helping me. Give Bill a round of applause for coming up here and helping me out there. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you all something, and you're just not going to believe what you're about to see. But the whole time that I've been up here doing this little show, there's been over here on that chair a little film canister. Maybe hard to see for some of you. It's very small. But there's no holes in the film canister. There's no slits, no openings, nothing. But I was thinking, wouldn't it be neat if the same dollar that I borrowed randomly from this beautiful lady right here was inside that little can? Wouldn't that be neat? I'm going to pop the top on the little can. I'm going to come out here. Would you just stand up so they can see this? I'm going to pop the top on the can. Take a look inside and tell me, is there a dollar inside the little can?
No. There's not a dollar inside the little can.
There should be a dollar in the little can.
No.
Is there not really?
No.
Oh, dude. But that would have been neat, though. Wouldn't that have been neat? I wish I could have done that. I really do. Oh, well. Who has the lemon? You're still awake, sir. That's unbelievable. That's really more than we expected from Keith. Let me get that lemon back. There's the lemon. Who has the knife? Oh, that was great, sir. Let me get that for what you're getting paid, sir. That was terrific. Now, there's the lemon and there's the knife. Okay, I can't promise this is going to work. But when it does, it's a scream. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to take this knife and I'm going to open up that lemon. Sorry. I'm breaking these teeth in for a friend. They're slipping. Can't do that. You have to get these yourself because everybody's different. That's the way they push them up. Dear Lord, Please let there be a dollar inside this lemon. That was the religious part. I hope that's okay. Now, if I did that right, there is a dollar in there. But it couldn't be your dollar. It couldn't be the same dollar. Because that would be impossible. Who has the tweezers?
I have the tweezers.
Wait a minute. That sounded good, but you really didn't stand up. How many of y'all would like to see that done again? Let's do that as a take two. I said, who has the tweezers?
I have the tweezers.
Now that was a little too good, if you want to know the truth. I think you've been holding that in, buddy. All right, take the tweezers and pull the dollar out of the lemon. Be very careful not to touch me. Anyway, that was funny, wasn't it? All right, just pull that dollar out of there. Keep the dollar in view at all times. Now you take the dollar and hand me the tweezers. We'll let that sink in for a moment. That's good. Now just kind of hold the dollar up and unroll the dollar as quickly as you can. I'm going to come over here and get these numbers back. Excellent job. Have you held numbers before? You did a great job on that. Okay, what I want you to do, if you would, is just read the serial number off the dollar. Don't make up a number. This is my kicker finish. Okay, you ready? Are you ready? All right, go.
J7356435D.
That's got to be it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just like to show that around. We'll let that dry, and I'll give it back to you. I'll set it up here, and you can get it after the show. But thank you. That's actually the dollar, no kidding. And I hope you enjoyed that. Normally, you don't see a trick that good on a cheap show like this. So I was just, which kind of like that other trick that I did. I'm going to set this down over here. Boy, I wish I had a lot of time. I really don't. But I wish I did. So I'm going to, let me see if I could do, how much do I have to like hurry? Because can I do one more thing? I'll do something real quick, and then I'll finish with the thing that I came to finish with, which actually is an encore trick of mine. I just never been able to perform it due to a lack of interest. But I'm going to do something that's going to freak you out. But I want to tell you, first of all, this is just a trick. So don't freak out, or it's just a trick. This beautiful lady, you don't have to come up, but I want you to do something for me. We didn't plan this, did we? We didn't plan anything before the show. All right, I want you to think of a farm animal. Just a farm animal in your mind. And in a minute, I'm going to say, name your animal. And when you name it, I'll turn this around, and we'll see if we match. Okay? This is cool. It's just a trick. Okay, have you got a farm animal? Okay, I think I can do this. I have ESPN. I'm psycho. Okay. All right, I think I know what you're... I think I got it. All right, what's the animal you're thinking of? A cow. You're not going to believe this. This is so good. Isn't that great? That's a cow. Don't ask me how I do these things, okay? Because these are all trade secrets. Now, I want to tell you a little story. I had a wonderful granddad, and he taught me a lot of magic tricks, and I loved him a lot. He got real old, and we wanted to take him to a rest home, and we didn't have any money for that, so we took him to a rest stop. And it was in our budget. But I'll get back to that. Here's what happened to me. I was in Miami, Florida. It was probably, I think, about 2 years ago. And I had one of those days, you know, where everything just went wrong. I don't know if you've had a day like that before. Everything. I had an asthmatic attack. Four asthmatics jumped me, is what happened. And I heard them breathing, you know, but I didn't know they were coming after me. Because I could have got away from them. And then I got mugged. Same day, I got mugged. It was an August day in Miami. I'll never forget it. I was on going down the sidewalk there, going to the jewelry store, and this guy came up to talk to me, and he was wearing one of these. And everything seemed normal, but I'll never forget it. I was on my way to the jewelry store, and I had an envelope with me, and I know everybody can't see this, but I'm going to show you the best I can. Can y'all see what's in there? Can you see that? $5. For anybody that can see, $5. And I'm thinking, why would somebody steal $5? You know, I mean, I don't know why people would steal anything, but $5. Guy came and mugged me, stole my $5. I'll just put that in here just to kind of demonstrate that. And then add this strand of pearls. Now these pearls belong to my great-grandmother. And she had these for, I think, about 50 years. And she was on her deathbed, and she sold me those pearls. So naturally, they're special to me. I wrote her a check. And stole my pearls. And then this little silk right here. This is really not worth anything at all. It's just a little silk cloth thing that I use in the show. And he stole that little silk. But this was what I was going to tell you about why I love being a magician. Because when that guy got home, he found out that he didn't have anything at all. Because the money that he had stolen out of the envelope was right back inside the envelope. And the pearls, believe it or not, were right back on the holder. And even though the silk wasn't in my pocket, that's a black one, the silk wasn't in my pocket, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be neat? Of course, you'd have to be a great magician to do that. But then again, that's my job. And so that's why I'm up here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I always set that on the floor at the very end. I always like to check the gravity. boy, I love doing this. I have the best time. I travel all over the place and just have a wonderful time, and I'm so privileged to get to do what I do for a living. I used to be a prune taster years ago, and this is better, you know. Did I tell you about that? Prune taster. I worked one day, and then I was off three. So it, good job. I was just glad to have a regular job at the time because there were... Isn't this fun? What did I do with... by the way, I am going to tell you something, but for any of you, that if you're in a company or a church and you need entertainment, I have some cards here. I'll set that on the floor just for a second. I have some here and some there and some in the back. And do grab one and call me later if you like. They're $2. And you'll see them around... I'm kidding. You're a dollar. I want to tell you something. And this is really true. Because everything I've told you so far is just not true. And this is true. That's the difference. But I remember being about 20. I want to tell you a couple little stories. I was about 20. And, I had a time where... Really, you know, I was telling you about having a bad day in that trick. I really had a bad day. It wasn't a day. It was a really, really bad time in my life. I really did. And it just seemed like that I lost just everything, you know, that I really loved. I've never experienced anything like that before. It was so traumatic. You know, I think this is kind of normal for people to go through this, but you hear about words like depression and anxiety and mental stress and all these kind of things. And they're just words until you really go through something very difficult. You know, if you lose something, you know, if you lose somebody or your dreams are shattered or some of these things happen. I bet there's so many people in here, almost everybody. Of any age at all, just about, that can tell about a time when you went through something like that in your life. And that's what happened to me at about 20. I wish I could tell you the story. I just don't have time. I'd love to. I was living in a little trailer about as big as like from here to there. And my mom came to visit me. I was about 20. She came and she sat down in this little chair. I sat in this one. It snowed that day. It was in March, but it snowed about 10 inches. I don't know how she got there, but she was there. She sat down and she said, here's what she told me. She said, the Word of God is like a rock. And she said, when you're standing on a rock, everything around you can be shaken and falling apart, but that rock is solid and it won't move. And that's what the Word of God is like. And she said, you can stand on it. And God has spoken things to us in His Word, and you can believe them. And she told me this because of experience that she had in her life. I have a King James version of the Bible. This is a New American Standard, but I have a King James that my mother had when she had gone through great crisis in her life, and she's got these things underlined in the Bible. I wouldn't take any amount of money for that Bible because my mom underlined things that God spoke to her when she was going through crisis. And she had in her a well of spiritual riches and wisdom and just power that I didn't have. She gave me a lot of scriptures. One of them from Habakkuk. It said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And He has made my feet like hinds' feet. And He has made me to walk on the high places. And those verses mean that everything has fallen apart. Everything's bad. There's no herd in the fields. There's no fruit on the trees. Everything's dead. But God has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me to walk on the high places. You know, a hind is a female deer. God has gifted the female deer in a way that He hasn't gifted any other animals. The female deer has the best traction of any animal. So that if there's a mountain here, and there's a female deer, and it wants to go to the top of the mountain, what it does is that it leaps up on the mountain, but the front feet of the female deer land in these two tracks. And when it jumps, the back feet land in exactly the same place where the front feet were every time. Another sure-footed animal, but not that sure-footed, might miss those back tracks by an inch or half an inch. And that could be the difference between going up the mountain or falling down. And that's what Habakkuk says. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and He has made me to walk on the high places. I'm seeing a mountain here that's just incredibly difficult, and I can't get there. But God is going to give me the ability to walk up the mountain that's impossible for me to the high places. You know what the high places is? In the high places, all your prayers are answered. In the high places, there's joy, and there's power, and there's peace. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But I'm down here, and I got to get up there. That's what my mom taught me. She taught me a lot of things, a lot of scriptures. I started memorizing them. I started putting them in my heart. I'd lived with this woman for 18 years, and I had no idea of the power and the supernatural stuff that she had inside of her. Had no idea. But she poured that stuff out to me, and I sat there and just drank it in. If she'd have come to me at other times, I might not have received it. But God had me in that place. And for 18 months, I walked with God, just my face in the Word every day, every night, just crying out to the Lord for something that seemed impossible. Boy, I wish I could tell you that story. But I will tell you this. There came a time when God answered my prayer. To the people were astounded. They were astounded. I wish I could tell you. I will tell you this. There were lawyers involved. I'll tell you that. I saw the other lawyer someday after that. I said, you ever seen anything like that before? He said, in all my years, I'd never seen anything like that before, and I've never seen it since. I'm like, you know what? That's God. Because God did something amazing. But my mom put that in my heart. I'll tell you this real quickly. When I was 16 years old, my dad was the pastor of a little church. Crank me down just a hair. Squeaking. My dad was the pastor of a little church. I was 16. My brother was 17. We would come in to Sunday school. We gathered around in this what looked like a little bitty sanctuary. We'd sit there, and then we'd go off to our individual classes. Me and my brother would come in like this. We'd sit like this. 16 years old, sit like this. That's how we sat in Sunday school. You know, flipping stuff, shooting each other, popping each other. Teacher, Mrs. Thomas was up there. Mrs. Thomas was a little lady about this big. When you saw Mrs. Thomas in the grocery store, you'd say, "How are you doing, Mrs. Thomas?" She'd say, "I'm just one day."
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.